الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الموت كفارة لكل مسلم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. دوشي بالله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, one of the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to every human being is his ability to speak out, a great ni'mah, to take out what is inside. Insan can articulate himself, express himself, describe something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the very first few verses of Surah Rahman explains to us that Ar-Rahman allama al-Qur'an khalaq al-insan. Allah has created insan and allamahu al-bayan. Allah has given insan the ability to speak. That is where we get the word bayan, allamahu al-bayan. That after salat there will be a bayan. Insan can reflect, describe all the past events that have occurred. He can relate stories 15 years ago, 20 years ago with the help of his memory. He can describe exactly everything what happens to that individual. An example that comes to the mind is when a believer, a mu'min, a Muslim, for the first time, male or female, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them and opens the door for them to make ziyarat of Haramain al-Sharifain, for the first time visiting and sighting the city of Makkah Mukarramah, the birthplace of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then making ziyarat of Madinatul Munawwara, the resting place of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure everyone have their own experience, but that feeling is incredible when for the very first time the eyes are down and you walk slowly up close to the mataf. And then for the first time, when you lift your head up and the eyes hit Khana-e Kaaba, the four walls, that feeling is something that one cannot describe. Just an incredible feeling. It's like settling in Jannat, Jannatul Firdaus. Allahu Akbar. That is why the ulama say that one of the very many spots where if you stand, the dua is mustajab, accepted. And one of those areas is also wherever you stand, you must look down. And when the first time the eyes hit Khana-e Kaaba, when you sight the walls of Kaaba, make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua. That feeling is incredible. For the very first time, the starting point of tawaf. We have listened to ulama, we have read the kutubs, the books. But physically, to go through that experience is something else. For the very first time, to get close to the black stone, Hajar-e Aswad, and to bow down and kiss Hajar-e Aswad, the stone kissed by all the companions, Ashab-i Kiram. What a blessed stone. The stone which Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed. And we kiss it because it is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing else. Because it is from Jannat. That experience is incredible. And then from Makkatul Mukarrama, you move on to the city of light, Madinatul Munawwarah. Again the feeling is different. The Meccans are different to the Madani people. The Madani people are soft-hearted, very calm, composed. And when I went there, alhamdulillah, I even noticed that the police, they have long beards and the izar is well before, on top, above the ankle. MashaAllah. They look mutasharri'. And for the first time you stand in front of Rosa and you give salatu was salam. You send durood to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and send durood to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq. The feeling is incredible. Then you go to Jannatul Baqi. So insan has that kudrat. And when he returns back home, it takes him at least 3 to 4 weeks just to settle back in Leicester and just to continue with the normal duties, the work that he does. But for 3 to 4 weeks, anyone who he meets, how was it? Oh, beautiful. We did that, we did that. That is our experience. This is what we did. We saw that person, we did that, mashallah. We read the Quran, we did tawaf, we did umrah, we made hajj, we went to Arafat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given insan that power to describe all the events that occur with that individual. Anything, it could be a journey. It could be you have that ability to pass on information to your Muslim brother, that ability you have. The experience that you have taken in, you have that ability. You have seen the city of London, so when you go back to India or wherever, you can explain to the Indians there, Indian Muslims, and be careful when you go there. Be careful. Plenty of petrol nowadays in India. So you can relate all the experience. That kudrat, that power is there. Subhanallah. But the topic today, and it's a continuation from the last session, is one phase that every individual goes through, penetrates through. He has to enter that door, but yet he has no power to come back, to return back, and to relate his experience to his close family members or to his friends or to his associates. He can't do that. He can do everything, but he cannot come back. And that is the phase of death, the phase of mort. Every individual has to go through that. Musliman ho ya kafir, Muslim or non-Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala incredibly describes mort with one word, which is dha'ika, which is unique. No one can describe death better than the description given to us in the Quran. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Death is assured 100%. It is like a product, food, a fruit. When you put it in your mouth, the taste buds are there. With the help of the tongue, it tells you if it is sweet or sour. Allah says, one will actually have to taste death, not experience death. Every individual will have to taste it, literally. He will taste the ruh coming out from his body, departing out from his body. No individual, so many people have passed away. We can't telephone them, we have no connection with them, unless one is very, very spiritually strong, Allahu Akbar. But that is not the case generally. We cannot talk and communicate with the people who have passed away. that how was your experience when the ruh came out? Did you see Malakul Maut? Did you have any difficulty? How was it when the close family members were giving your body ghusl? How was it when that person was putting on kafan on top of you? How was it when Salatul Janaza was prayed? How was it when all the brothers laid your body down in the grave? No one is there. If that power was given, then Allahu Akbar, every single individual would become a Muslim. That is what is meant by Iman bil Ghaib, to have Iman on things that are connected to the unseen world. Ghaib ke saath iska taluq, you can't see it. But it is a reality, it is a fact. The only source of information we have, which is the most correct and precise information, is the information given to us in the Quran and in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in the first two verses of Surah An-Nazi'at, Allah says, وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. Let me make the translation first of it in Urdu, then English. Hasabat. قسم ہے ان فرشتوں کی جو کافروں کی روح کو سختی سے نکالتے ہیں. سختی سے. Allah takes an oath by those angels who take out the ruh, the soul of the disbelievers with great violence. سختی کے ساتھ. وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَ. We can't see that. In the hospital, when you see a dead body, a Muslim or a non-Muslim, nothing happens to him. Sometimes they say that, oh, it was just a peaceful death. He or she went to sleep and that's it, never woke up. Allahu Akbar. It is only a peaceful death if Iman is secured in the heart. Otherwise, in Surah An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَى. Only if you could see, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ. When you see the zalimun, generally are those people who make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who reject the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ. The pain and agony they face at the time of death. فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُ أَيْدِيهِمْ. And the angels stretch out their hands, gripping the kuffar properly, making sure that maximum punishment is given to them. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُ أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. The angels taunt them and they say, have you got the power to take out your own soul, deliver your own soul? الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. Today, you will be punished. Azab, a punishment. Hoon, al-huni means that is a humiliating punishment. Bima kuntum taquluna ala Allahi ghayr al-haq. For the things you would say, pointing it to the Quran or to, as it being the revelation revealed to Isa alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam or Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa kuntum an ayatihi tastakbirun. And you were arrogant, takabbur. Every time someone came to you, you turned your face away. You turned your face away. That is the punishment everyone goes through. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith has given us a little glimpse. Hazrat says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the ruh of the disbeliever comes out, it is like as if 100 swords are poked into the body simultaneously all together. 100 swords, ekzat, piercing the body right through. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that the deeper the kufr inside an individual, the more pain he receives at the time of death. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says that it is like 1,000 swords being poked inside the human body. And Hazrat says that pain is bearable compared to the pain given to a kafir when his ruh is taken out from the body. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. My respected brothers and elders, Allahu Akbar. Even Fir'aun, the first stage of death, the first sign of death is sakarat. And the word sakarat is also mentioned in the Quran. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٍ. And the stupor of death comes with the truth. ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدٍ. This is what you were avoiding all the time. Even sakarat, the starting point of death. The sakarat in itself, even Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made fana of it. Make dua, Allahumma a'inna ala ghamaratil maut wa sakaratil maut. Fir'aun, the greatest magician, he surrendered in front of no one, not even Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam. But at the time of death, at the time of sakarat, just the beginning, the first degree of sakarat, Allahu Akbar made him surrender. Fir'aun surrendered. And in the Quran, the words are there. He said that, I bring faith on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have iman on the Rabb of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, and I have iman on the Rabb of Harun alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, Al-ana wa qad asayt. Now you bring iman when you have been disobedient all your life. It was too late because at the time of sakarat, the door of tawbah closes. No amal is valid. You can't repent at that time. It is too late. At the time of sakarat, everything ends. But even Fir'aun, that Jabir, that Zalim, at the time of sakarat, he gave up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. My respected brothers, but for a believer, a mu'min, Allah says, وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. And by those angels who take out the ruh of the believers with great ease, with rahmat, with mercy, un farishton ki kasam, jo mu'minon ki ruh ko bahut hi rahat ke saath nikalte hain, with great ease. But that is conditional. We have to be firm on good deeds. The salamati of iman should be there all the time. The ulama have mentioned that there are four sins. That if you don't make tawbah of four sins, then without a doubt, that individual will be given punishment in the grave, even if he is a Muslim. Even if he is a Muslim. Four items, four sins. At-tahawunu bis-salat. For that person who is not regular with his namaz, who is not punctual with his salat. And people are divided. Some are from Jummah to Jummah. Some are even worse off than that. Eid to Eid. Eid to Eid. Allahu Akbar. And some have the habit of praying only Zuhr every day. Some only pray two times a day. Some only pray three times a day. Some only four times a day. And even then, Allahu Akbar. Some miss out Fajr, some miss out Isha. They are not regular. At-tahawunu bis-salat. Who make susti, conveniently missing out salat. The ulama say without a doubt. The punishment of grave. Azab-e-kabr will be given to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. A bit of takleef, hardship, thodi si, summer or winter, but be regular and be punctual in your salat. Even mothers and sisters listening at home. Insha'Allah ta'ala. The companions were such, subhanallah ilazim, even in jihad, where the kuffara in front of them. Even in jihad, they never neglected their first salat. Never neglected. an article a few months ago when the Allies were bombarding Afghanistan. I still have that article newspaper. One of the journalists was saying that it is incredible that the Afghans can see bombs coming down. Allahu Akbar, sophisticated weapons pointing at them, but with great ease, one mujahid is Allahu Akbar, and he's praying namaz. And that picture is taken. And they are saying that that person has full information that everyone is watching him. He is a potential target without a doubt. He is there visible. But what kind of people are these? Kis mitti ke bane hue log hai? Or what kind of iman do they have? He is there in ruku and he is there in sujood. Namaz is the greatest discipline. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Namaz is the soul, namaz is the ruh. Without that nobody is alive. Allah give us all the tawfiq. And the only way to build your taqwa is to fight your nafs and to be punctual, regular, and to make salat with your jama'at, salat with your jama'at, salat with your jama'at. Allah give us all the tawfiq. The second is shurbul khamr. No offense to any of the community, but a lot of Muslims have restaurants, even on London Road. Muslim restaurants, but fully licensed. Alcohol is served. We don't make money, we don't make business without alcohol. They have iman on alcohol, they don't have iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For if they had respect for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would there be alcohol? And is that money halal? And is it jaiz for them to give money and donate money to the masajid? Is that money halal? Go and ask a mufti. But the level of iman is so kamzor. And if we are not involved in khamr, in sharab, in alcohol, then it is drugs, the youth, communities. Drugs. Muslims are in drugs. Everyone who takes in drugs, subhanallah, it is all part of khamar, intoxicant, haram totally, azab-e kabar. And the third item mentioned is uququl walidain, to be disobedient to your parents, ma-baap. That is why to keep a balance, it is extremely difficult. That is where our women folks come in, and they have to understand it is their duty. That the husband has the duty to respect the wife and also the mother. Both are connected. The mother cannot take away the child, depriving the wife. And the wife cannot take away the husband, depriving the mother. It should be a balance. It should be a balance. But more than everything in this world, parents have a right. When you look at the Quran and when you look at the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the general law is that to make zulm on anyone is haram. To make zulm on anyone, any being is haram. Uququl walidain. And the fourth item, very important. Wa adhal muslimina. For those people who turn a blind eye when they have the power to honor and to help and to respect and to give refuge to their Muslim brothers, but no, instead of their greed and of their positions, they close the eyes, this natural apathy towards them, and they turn away. And they don't mind if the Muslim is in pain, Allahu Akbar, as long as they have everything. As long as safety is with them, whatever is happening outside, just shut off your eyes. Draw the curtains and don't see anything. What can we do? Subhanallah al-Azim. For them, azab-e-kabr is assured. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we repent from sins like this mentioned. Some of the scholars have mentioned that there are five types of people who are saved from Azab-e-Qabr. Al-Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, the prophets. And what about the prophets? Subhanallah. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah revealed to him, instructed him, that, O Musa, take your brother Harun alayhi salam to a cave. It is time for Harun alayhi salatu wa salam to come to me. Harun alayhi salam is the older brother. Allah is sending wahi to Musa alayhi salam that Allah has chosen an area where the ruh of Harun alayhi salatu wa salam will be taken up. So take him to that cave. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, with great respect, speaks to the older brother that we have to go on a journey to this specific area. Harun alayhi salatu wa salam's son was there. And he said to the father and the uncle that, I want to join you. The two paghambar, prophets of Allah, and one son of Harun alayhi salatu wa salam, reaching the destination, the mouth of the cave was visible. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was the first one to enter. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this comfortable area, like a bedding was there. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam put himself down, resting in that area. After a bit he woke up, he saw Harun alayhi salam was standing. He said to the brother that, it would be nice if you rest now. It would be nice if you rest now. Harun alayhi salatu wa salam even understood. Because Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah reveals everything to them. Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wa salam put himself down, went to sleep, closed his eyes, looked at his son, looked at Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam was looking at Harun alayhi salam. The son is looking also. And knew that the ruh of Harun alayhi salatu wa salam has been taken away, passed away. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam left Harun alayhi salam in that cave with the son coming out. And they came, when Hazrat came down to the people of Banu Israel, Banu Israel, the Jews, they haven't left Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. You think they are going to leave the Palestinian people? Huh? Allahu Akbar. Every country is saying that we are thinking of putting sanctions on Israel. We are all thinking. What are they doing? They are all thinking yet. And the thinking will end when finally 5,000 to 6,000 Palestinian brothers die, 7,000. Let us double the events of 11 September, when maybe 9,000 to 10,000 Palestinians die. Oh, that is the time. Oh, it is sad. Oh, it was very, very wrong. What happened? What happened? That is the time everything will... It's a beautiful... It's like a chess game. It's a game. It's a game played. Everyone, every player knows he's interconnected. I will say that. You will say that. So the bulk of Muslims don't feel bad. I will then say that. You say that. So those people don't feel bad. Subhanallah al-Azim. Subhanallah al-Azim. When will the Muslims wake up? When will the Muslims wake up? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all the Muslims the tawfiq. Today, when you hear the name Muslim, everyone is prepared to take advantage. Kuch bhi ho, Musalman? Maro isko kya hai, kuch bhi nahi. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Nothing will happen. Nothing will happen, exactly like what happened in Bosnia, a massacre. Thousands and thousands of people will die, and then the foreign troops come in. At the end, when everyone is bowled out. And one suicide attacks, one suicide, one bus blows up, it's hyped up. Front page, terrorists, terrorists, terrorists. How can those people be terrorists? How? Until today, I don't understand. What is the definition of terrorist? Is the definition of terrorist who Ariel Sharon and the Israeli people label a certain group of people as terrorists, so they are terrorists? Are they terrorists? Who is a terrorist? They have broken all the rules and regulations and everything what the United Nations told them to do. They have occupied all the land. And to fight back, they want their land back. They have nothing except to give their own life. But oh, they are terrorists. They are terrorists. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahu Akbar Kabira. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't fear. No one can humiliate you. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You are the people who have the highest honor. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. سَبْسِ أَعْلَى. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you have iman, if you bring iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is naraz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is naraz. We have the Quran, we have the hadith. But we don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But instead we fear other things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam came down. Banu Israel, the Jews, accused him that you are the one who assassinated your own brother. Kya kaha? Aap hi ne apne bhai ko qatl kar di. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam is saying, why should I want to kill my own brother? When I requested Harun alayhi salatu wa salam to be my representative when I am receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Banu Israel are saying, no, out of jealousy and hasad you killed him. Again, this is the mu'ajiza of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam chose 70 people and said to them, come with me to the cave. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam with Banu Israel went to the cave. And from outside, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wa salam spoke to the brother Harun alayhi salatu wa salam, man qatalaka ya akhi. Was there anyone who assassinated you, who killed you, ma'az Allah? And Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wa salam spoke out. That is the miracle, mu'ajiza of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. In that condition, Hazrat Harun alayhi salatu wa salam says, Lam yaqtulni ahadun. No one assassinated me. My brother did not do anything to me. Walakinni mittu. But I died a natural death. It was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they heard the voice of Harun alayhi salatu wa salam. Only then they agreed that now we believe you, O Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. So, Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, they have the highest level of taqwa. Even Malakul Maut, when the angel of death comes, they have to greet the prophets and seek permission from them. And after Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, it is the ulama. What is it? The ulama. After ulama, it is the shuhada. Those who have given their life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kitne huwe? Teen huwe. And the fourth is, waqari'ul Qur'an. Those who have love for the Qur'an. Every time are reciting the Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an. And the fifth is, again, if brothers are here who want to take the job of musabai, mu'azzin. Mu'azzin. If you are a mu'azzin, inshallah you are mahfuz from azab kabr. Five. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mautu tahfatul mu'min. Maut is the greatest treasure. Al-mautu ghanimatul mu'min. Al-mautu kaffaratun likulli muslim. Maut, death, is the best compensation from all sins for the believer. The more the taqwa inside the heart, the individual, the easier it becomes for him, the easier it becomes for him. We have to be careful, because at the time of Sakarat, the shaitan comes. At the time of Sakarat, he is there all the time. Muhaddithin say that even when the child is born, when the child comes out from the womb, a royal infirmary must be full of the shayateens and even general, when you look at the hadith. When the child is born, the shaitan comes and pinches the child, the baby. And that is the reason the child starts to scream and cry. That is the reason. Allahu Akbar. And that is in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam are mahfuz from that. And even at the time of death, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was questioned. Su'ila Abu Hanifa, ayu dhanbin akhwafu li salbil mu'min, which sins take away iman from the heart? Man taraka shukra ala al-iman. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that when one does not make shukr of iman that Allah Ta'ala has given him, he doesn't make shukr of it. What is making shukr? Making shukr is to respect the iman. When someone buys a new car, he wants to wash the car and clean the car, polish the car, make sure it is free from scratches. When you buy a new house, new carpet, wallpaper, even if the child takes out the wallpaper, that is a kya hua, I spent so much money and this is what happened. For dunya, we have so much love. The slightest damage, and that is it. Allahu Akbar. Make hifazat of iman. Wataraka khawful khatima. And Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa says, when one is not bothered of how his death will come, he is not bothered. He has no ahsas. That fikr is not there, that how my death will come. وَظُلْمُ الْعِبَادِ. Again, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says that I fear that for those people who inflict pain on the believers, that before their death, iman will be taken away from their hearts. Even if they are buried in the Islamic cemetery, only Allah will judge them that have they got iman or not. That is entirely up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make zulm on ibadullah, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is gunai kabira, the greatest sin. Hazrat Abu Zakariya al-Zahid, at the time of his death, at the time of Sakarat, atahu sadiquhu wa huwa fi sakratil mawti wa lakkanahu al-kalimatu al-tayyiba. His friend came along and saw that Shaykh Aba Zakariya al-Zahid is in that condition of Sakarat. So when you see someone in Sakarat, he's a Muslim, we are not to force him that pray kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasul, pray kalima. No, you're not supposed to do that. Allahu Akbar. You just go in front of him and recite the tashahud, the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So when he sees, if he is in his sense, inshallah, he will recite the kalima. So Aba Zakariya, being a great buzruk, the friend came, he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Aba Zakariya turned his face away. The friend went to the other side. He says, Hazrat, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Then again, he turned his face away. Aba Zakariya came this way, the friend came and he says, Hazrat, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Aba Zakariya turned his face away. He says, La akulu, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to recite the kalim. Saying that Aba Zakariya fainted. Behoshika alamaya. Faghashiya ala sadiqihi. After a few minutes when he came back to his senses, Aba Zakariya said to his friend that, were you saying something to me? He says, yes. I was putting in front of you the tashahud, the kalima, talkeen. But every time I said, La ilaha illallah, you turned your face away. He says, no. He said, the shaitan came, atani iblis wa ma'ahu qadhum min ma'in. The shaitan came to me, and in his hand there was a bowl of water. Qadhun piyale ko kehte hai, glass of water. The ulama said that at the time of death, the mayyat, that person becomes extremely thirsty. So the shaitan comes with water. And the shaitan came to me, وَوَقَفَ عَنْ يَمِينِي. He stood in front of me, وَحَرَّقَ الْقَدْحِ. And he showed me the glass of water. And he said to me, أَتَحْتَاجُ إِلَى الْمَا. Do you want water? Shaykh Abba Zahid al-Zakariya says, قُلْتُ بَلَا. I said, why not? He says, if you want water, he's a believer. Look how the shaitan plays with him. He said, قُلْ. Say, Isa ibn Allah. Say that Isa is the son of God. The shaitan is saying to the believer, قُلْ. Say, Brother Isa is here. Alhamdulillah. He's a Mu'min Kamil. He says, Isa ibn Allah. Say that Isa is the son of God. فَعَرَّضْتُ عَنْهُ. And I did not turn my face away because of the kalima. It is because he told me to say Isa ibn Allah, son of God, I turned my face away. Then he came to me from my leg. He said, فَقَالَ لِي كَذَلِكَ. He said, look, I will give you water. All you have to say is Isa is the son of God. I turned my face away. For the third time he came to me. He says, قُلْ. Just say La ilaha. So there is no God. Die as an atheist. Die as an atheist. قُلْتُ لَا أَقُولُ. He said, I will never ever say that. And he said, فَأَرَّدْتُ. And I said that لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولَ. Saying that, he got angry. He smashed the glass on the floor and ran away. And Abba Zahid al-Zakariya said that, I am saying to you, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولَ اللَّهُ. And that is how death came to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Without a doubt, at the time of death, the shaitan is present. That is why the ulama say that it is always nice to stay in the condition of wudu. The ulama say that if you die in the condition of wudu, you have the status of a shaheed. The status of a shaheed. Allah is so merciful that if in your janazah namaz, if there are salafeen, if there are 30 people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that mayyit. Forgives that mayyit. Subhanallah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Another riwayat by Mansur ibn Ammar, bas baat khatam kar do, that at the time of death, at the time of death, everything is divided. Al-malu lil-warasa. His bank balance, which he had thousands or millions, his property, his cars, everything what he owned, at the time of death, al-malu lil-warasa. It is all for the inheritors, for the rishtidar. Nothing goes with him. Everything is going to be divided. وَالْرُوحُ لِمَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. The ruh that was inside the body, he does not even own that. Even that ruh is taken by Malakul Maut. Wealth is taken away by all the family members, inheritors. The ruh is taken by Malakul Maut. وَاللَّحْمُ لِلْدُودِ. And the flesh, ghosht, flesh, is eaten away by the insects, by hasharatul arz, in the grave. Wal azmu lit turab, and the bones decomposed with the earth, is eaten away. Wal hasanatu lil khusama, and generally the women remarry. Wal shaytanu li salb al iman, and at that time, at the time of sakarat, the shaitan is there all the time, waiting for the last stroke, last attempt to snatch away his iman before the angel of death comes. And that is the time, that is the test. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all death in the condition of iman. That is why Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala la ilaha illallah dakhala al jannah. Anyone who says la ilaha illallah and dies in that condition, for him it is jannah. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has said that tuhsharuna kama tamutun. On the day of Qiyamah, you will come out from your graves. Your hashar will be like how your death came. Watamutuna kama tahyun. And your death will come like how you carried out your actions. Good actions, good death. Bad actions, gunah, bad death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Marana Islamul Haq Saba wa Ustad. Subhanallah al-Azim, Shaykh al-Hadith, teacher of all the scholars here, all the ulama you see here, teaching Bukhari Sharif. Where was he from? India. From India. What a beautiful death. At the time of Tahajjud, his ruh is taken away. in the city of the Prophet, Madinatul Munawwara. Entire life in India he taught Mishkat. When he came to England, subhanallah, all the glitter that was around him, nothing bothered him. For him it was just the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teaching hadith, hadith, hadith. What a beautiful death. At Fajr's time, the Imam of Masjid Nabi makes Salatul Janaza. And after Fajr Salat, Salatul Janaza, subhanallah, people are there taking him. A great Shaykhul Hadith, Shaykhul Hadith. Shaykhul Hadith is going to be buried in Madinatul Munawwara. These are our scholars. We take pride in our scholars, alhamdulillah. Our scholars, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya, Rahmatullah Alayh, where is he buried today? In Jannatul Baqi. Great, great scholars came from where? But the last resting place chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them is Jannatul Baqi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala har ek se razi ho jaye. Allah paak har ek ko jaga di Jannatul Baqi mein. Allah ke liye kya mushkil kaam hai. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.